Dear brothers and sisters, now that you've listened to the sermons up to the seventh commandment, are you keeping the tenth commandment? Can you confidently say that you do not take the name of the Lord your God in vain and keep the Sabbath day holy? If you know the spiritual meanings behind these commandments, many of you may think you are keeping them even when it's actually the opposite. But how grateful we are that we can now understand the will of our Father God. Today, we will look at the eighth commandment of, "You shall not steal." This commandment also carries spiritual meanings that differ from worldly perception. In the name of the Lord, I hope you will all be enriched by these teachings and become blameless and flawless children of God. Brothers and sisters, there are two main connotations to the commandment, "You shall not steal." First, there is the physical definition of stealing. This refers to taking or acquiring another person's property without permission. Even worldly people know such stealing is wrong and sinful. But if someone is accused of being a thief, despite not having stolen anything, they would likely feel very displeased and wronged. But in fact, many people engage in theft that they don't class as stealing. While committing wrongdoings, they don't realize it, thereby making themselves a thief. For example, they may take someone else's belongings without permission, without pangs of conscience. They think it is acceptable because they're close friends or the item is inexpensive and unimportant. People who use other people's belongings out of necessity should return it immediately afterwards, but they often don't. Such things may not be considered a problem in the family, but we have to fix that. Let me talk about this. Between husband and wife, if a husband uses the money out of his wife's pocket, it is not right. Let's say people have their delivery, and there are times when they have to pay money instantly. So they take money from their spouse's pocket wallet and use it. After they use it, they have to confess it, no matter how small the amount is. This is taking another person's money. This is her personal belonging. So that's why we have to ask for permission in advance. Or if we some of you may wonder, is this a fault? But let's say your children takes the money out of your wallet or out of your pocket. Your child does that and pays it for his personal use. You may think it is wrong. Of course, if you tell him in advance, then you can... But it's better for the parents to give the... It's better for the parents... So, So it's better for the parents to give their child to money rather than ask letting them take the money out of their pocket. As their child takes the money out of their parents' pocket, he may be in the habit of. So, as they develop such a habit, once they have such a habit, it is difficult to fix it. This is an example. A child taking money out of his parents' pocket and using it. This is clearly wrong, you may think, but it's the same between the spouses, husband and wife. And if you think that, you know, you think that a child taking money out of his parents' pocket is wrong. This is, usually people think of it as wrong. But let's say some parents just let their child use their money in the pocket whenever they want. So their children develop a habit of taking money out of their pocket and they... Once they develop such a habit, they may develop similar habits in other areas too. This is how the way we are taught affects our conscience. Even so, there should be respect between husband and wife. They have their own privacy. They should not open their wallet, open their... And that their children would... And then... Such habits, because of habits formed in ourselves, we may not think something is wrong. So if a husband and wife have a different concept of, so people easily use another person's belongings and think it is okay, and So that's why stealing happens even among, even between a husband and wife. We learned about the Ten Commandments, and we also learned about the laws of the Old Testament times. And we learned about the laws and statutes. And the shepherd also, back in 1990s, he also said that the shepherd said that when you use another person's pen or pencil, you have to use it after asking for permission. But let's say so the owner is not there. You may use it for your, you know, but there are many times you use another person's pencil and bring it home and you forget to give it back and you bring it back. But if you don't make a habit of, so there are people who bring it back home. So you have to fix these habits. This is a wrong habit. Why? This is like using another person's belongings without permission. This is wrong. And you have to carry your own items, and you try not to use others' belongings so that you may not make a mistake. So people also use another person's belongings and take it home. And so that's why it's better for us to, but people who don't do that always make a mistake. They borrow others' belongings, and then when they habitually borrow others' belongings and make mistakes, and they don't realize that because they are in the habit of doing that. They don't think of it as wrong, and they don't think it is a big deal. You have to realize that and fix yourself. I mean, let's say you borrow others' belongings and don't give it back. This is taking someone's possession, so this is stealing. This behavior not only causes financial loss, but it's also disrespectful. You may say, I didn't disrespect him. You know, borrowing someone from your boss, borrowing someone from your, is not easy. But let's say another person is your close friends or your colleagues, you easily borrow it, but you have to make sure to give it back. So, and but if you think you have a close relationship with others, you may end up doing something disrespectful. Regardless of how trivial the item or how close the relationship, using something without the owner's permission is considered theft in God's eyes. Some people simply ask for things they need, saying, give it to me, or lend it to me. They easily say, oh, please give it to me. This is causing loss to another person very easily. Some of you may think it is not a big deal, but if such things pile up, it turns into a big issue. There are, let's say, in your family, when you buy some product, when there are buy one, get one free item, and when I get one, I try to, buy one and get one free item, when I give it to Ms. Bong Lim Lee, Ms. Bong Lim Lee refuses to receive it. She wants to give him money because she doesn't want to become a person who always receives. Some of you may think it is not a big deal, but she tries to keep herself from being a person who always received. So, if you do that, does it? In doing so, we can always. And this is how we serve each other in the family. But if you, because the item is trivial and when we receive something, when we give, we have to have a heart of service, heart of serving each other, and that way the relationship can
것을 취했을 때는 가책을 느끼게 되는 것입니다. 다음으로 꼭 훔치거나 빼앗은
They may not return the items after borrowing them, or if they do, the items may be worn or shrink, causing loss to the owner. Brazenly asking for someone else's belonging is also embarrassing. A person with a pure conscience will feel guilty about taking anything that doesn't belong to them, no matter how small. Even if something is not outright stolen or taken by force, unjustly acquiring what is not yours also constitutes theft. For example, a person of goodness will feel a pang of conscience if they were to receive a bribe by abusing their position or power, or if they were a business charging excessive prices to exploit customers. Even if an item wasn't stolen, taking what you are not rightfully entitled to technically falls into the category of theft. But this perspective indeed differs from a worldly view. In the world, there are those who feel pleased to overcharge naive customers and don't consider it wrong. When there are proper prices in the world, there are appropriate prices. So even the same item may be different in prices depending on where they are sold. If you get something at a department store, the prices could be higher but there are people who rip off their customers in Korea. There are also people who rip off the foreign tourists, like taxi drivers. And when you report such rip-offs, they are caught. This is like fraud. Like these cases, when you run a business, when you sell something, you shouldn't receive more than you are rightfully receive, and this is also stealing. Why? Because the truth is that deceiving others and causing harm for personal gain is sinful. By self-reflecting through this pure and beautiful truth, we can emerge as a beautiful bride of the Lord without a single blemish. You may think of this as there are items that family members use together. I'm not talking about that, but there are personal belongings that each family member use. When we are to use those items, we have to ask for permission. And when we use some, this is a beautiful heart and good heart and a good conscience. When we live like that, we can also emerge as the beautiful bride of the Lord. Brothers and sisters, the second connotation is spiritual stealing, which is stealing from God. This kind of theft directly affects salvation. Judas Iscariot, one of Jesus' disciples, was entrusted to manage the money and everything provided by the people, but he mismanaged them and became a thief, ultimately allowing himself to be influenced by Satan and betray Jesus. Despite having been called as a disciple and received the opportunity for great glory, Judas Iscariot accumulated sin. Not able to receive the spirit of repentance, he committed suicide and faced a miserable end. It's the same today. Some people attend church, yet they misuse God's funds. Even worldly people would feel fear when stealing from the church. But if someone who claims to believe in God misuses church's funds, does he truly have faith for salvation? On the surface, they may appear to live a Christian life and fulfill their duties, but being blocked by the great walls of sin already, they are unaware of seriousness of their actions. If their sins remain hidden and go unpunished, it is even more frightening. Even if people are unaware, God is certainly watching, and justice will surely come in due time. If a person fails to repent and ultimately faces the 7-year tribulation as a thief of God's finances, how much will they have to lament and regret? In the name of the Lord, I strongly urge everyone listening not to invite such disasters upon yourselves. Even if you haven't directly stolen church offerings, misusing sacred items or mishandling church finances can also be considered stealing from God. Let's take a look at some. So, this church has taught that even pastors should not touch the church's finances. And that's what our branch churches do. In the church, the pastors are not in charge of the church finances, but the church workers are entrusted. But instead, they put church workers in charge of the money, and so they make sure that God's money is used properly. But if they don't do so, if pastors decide how the money is used, if pastors have a reason to spend money, he first has to make his church workers ask for church workers a permission or agreement. So, we have to make sure that we don't create a wall of sin before God with the church's finances. Let's take a look at some specific examples. Using membership fees or funds that have been contributed to a mission or a group for personal reason is unacceptable. Billing for office supplies for church work and using them personally is also unacceptable. There are money that, for example, our flower arrangements. When you offer the flower arrangement, they buy flowers. When the flowers became prices of the flowers have decreased, and the unspent funds should go back to the church's treasury. The rest of the flowers and are used for the other churches, other areas, and it shouldn't be used for private use. And Levite workers and pastors, when they buy church supplies, they use church's finance, and they have to report the purpose of the buying those items. They have to find the cheapest prices and then And don't, they shouldn't recklessly buy things because it is the church's money. They should not also take those items home and use it for personal purposes. And whatever they buy with God's finances shouldn't be used for private use. Wastefully spending church funds to purchase items when they could be used more frugally, using unspent funds for other purposes instead of returning them, is also a misuse of finances. Additionally, if you use them arbitrarily for private use, it is stealing. Additionally, using church phones or supplies for personal use is not acceptable. When using the church items, people often waste them. They wouldn't do so if they had to bear the cost. But if you truly love and respect God, you will value them even more than your own because they belong to God. Parents should ensure that their children do not play with or tear church's envelopes or bulletins. Some children, they they have to teach their kids so that even when they are young, they learn to respect God and honor God. They have to distinguish. So as a child grows up, he wouldn't find it difficult to honor and to respect God. Though these may seem trivial, each action can create a spiritual barrier in your relationship with God. Brothers and sisters, God warns against spiritual theft, particularly about stealing tithes and offerings. Malachi chapter 3 verses 8 and 9 says, "Will a man rob God? Yet you are robbing me. But you say, how have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings, you are cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me, the whole nation of you." As each person is stealing from God, the whole nation is tithing is presenting a tenth of our income, acknowledging God's material sovereignty. It serves as the evidence of our faith in God who governs our life. Failing to tithe while claiming to believe in God equates to robbing God, leading to a curse. It's not that God curses those who don't tithe. Rather, even when Satan accuses them, God cannot protect them, which results in financial difficulties and other hardships. Some may tithe but fail to give a complete amount, resulting in a lack of divine protection. Your tithe has to be a tenth of all income, not just your salary. And all income includes side jobs, allowances, and gifts. However, some do the calculating only with their salary, excluding their additional income. Others deduct expenses before calculating their tithes. Nowadays we have there are taxes deducted from the income, and you receive salary after these taxes are deducted, but his total income, his monthly income, includes his taxes. But we learned. But some people, I mean, And some people, when a person tries to transfer to another company, when they are applying for another job, so before God, we have to be truthful. You may say, I haven't given tithes, but why am I not receiving blessings? But you have to examine what was missing. Still others calculate their tithes, but arbitrarily offer them as missionary or charity offerings. But these cases are basically robbing God. Tithes must be given specifically as such, and their proper use is the church's responsibility. For more details, in the church, you have to make it clear that you are offering when you give offerings for a specific purpose, the church uses that offering according to that purpose of your offering. But you should not. For more details about tithing, refer to the sermon on whole tithes and offerings. Next is withholding offerings. Offerings refers to all offerings given in thanks other than tithes. God-saved children have countless reasons to be grateful for. We should be grateful for salvation and the path to heaven. We need to be thankful for the precious roles that help us build up our heavenly rewards. We should thank God for His protection and blessings. Also, believing that God would cause even troubles and challenges to work together for good, we, believers, only overflow with reasons for gratitude. The Bible says, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Each Sunday, we don't come to worship empty-handed. We give thanksgiving offerings and set aside additional offerings for special events. This makes perfect sense. When people receive a favor or some help from others, they don't just feel thankful. Usually, they try to repay it with actions. Especially on holidays or their birthdays, they express their gratitude. This is not done out of a sense of obligation. People who know the duty of man naturally do that from their heart. How much more should we, who are filled with hope for heaven and grateful for salvation, be generous towards God? Each week, as we experience His grace and receive answers to our prayers, we are inspired to be more thankful and give even more to God. Some people claim to have faith, yet hesitate to thank God with their offerings. While they may tithe out of fear of its connection to salvation, they can be miserly with other offerings and often reluctantly give due to others' opinions. But the Bible tells us, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. So, I'm explaining that when one steals offerings that are to be offered naturally, this also relates to salvation. Being stingy towards God reveals a heart filled with greed for money and worldly lusts rather than love for God and hope for heaven. This may be understandable for new believers, But if people who've long been a Christian have such a heart, they will likely backslide in faith rather than gradually growing spiritually. Memories about the grace received fade away, and you have fewer reasons for gratitude. Thus, when one fails to give what is due, it ultimately relates to their salvation. Of course, each one has a different measure of faith, and God, knowing our conscience, knowing our circumstance and hearts, doesn't focus on the amount given. Just as the widow who could only give 2 lepta coins was praised by Jesus, God desires the fragrance of true gratitude and faith. If you please God with such fragrance, you will have blessings and gratitude far greater than what you have given. God will ensure that your soul prospers and daily fill you with more reasons for thanks, repaying you 30, 60, or 100-fold. Dear brothers and sisters, may you wholly offer God what belongs to Him and generously offer by faith, thereby always enjoying His abundant blessings like a spring that never runs dry. Brothers and sisters, another form of spiritual theft is robbing God's word. Robbing God's word, like making false prophecies in God's name. Some claim to hear God's voice and speak about others' futures like fortune tellers. For example, I've heard someone tell a person struggling in business, God has caused your failures because you must become a servant of the Lord. Alternatively, if you have a dream or see a vision in your own thought and claim, God has given me this dream, or He's shown me a vision, this also constitutes stealing God's word. This is taking God's name in vain, as explained in the Third Commandment session. Jeremiah chapter 23, verses 32 record, "Therefore, behold, I'm against the prophets, declares the Lord, who steal my words from each other. Behold, I'm against the prophets, declares the Lord, who use their tongues and declare. The Lord declares, behold, I'm against those who have prophesied false dreams, declares the Lord, and led my people astray by their falsehoods and recklessness. I did not send them or command them, nor do they provide any benefit to this people, declares the Lord." Of course, understanding and proclaiming God's will under the Holy Spirit's inspiration is commendable, but it is essential to examine whether you are a suitable vessel for delivering God's word. The Holy God does not reveal His voice to just anyone. He wants to choose those who are pure and free from evil and declare His will through them. I urge you to always guard your mouth with vigilance and prevent yourselves from stealing God's word in your thoughts. Dear brothers and sisters, today we looked at the commandment of "You shall not steal," which includes taking someone else's property without permission or acquiring it unjustly. We also addressed stealing from God. If you feel guilt or shame when taking something, you must reflect on yourself. As you are seeking personal gain by taking what is not yours, the Holy Spirit grieves and troubles your conscience. What your conscience teaches you, some of you may become numb. So even after you take and use someone else's belongings, you don't think of it as a big deal. But you may end up being disrespectful, and as you habitually take others' belongings, you may end up stealing, but you don't feel it, which means your conscience has become numb. If you're not... So you have to have the word as your standard, and you
성령이 탄식하시고 마음에 찔림이 된다면
So you have to have the word as your standard. So you have to check whether you easily or quickly take another person's belongings and don't give it back. You know, people of this kind easily give what they have to share with the others. But as we are going towards the end of the year, we have to examine ourselves. And some people have the duties as a district leader or sub-district leader, and they are wholly devoted, but they have their situation, their family situation, or their health issues. They cannot invest as much time as they want. Then they have to yield to others and let others take the job so that they can bear more abundant fruit. If you are lazy and cannot fulfill your duties well, it's better for you to let another person take the job and bear fruit. Those of you who want to carry out your duties, but the situation does not allow, you can let others take the job. And when a person committed to God arbitrarily uses the sacred time for personal matters and causes loss to God's kingdom in terms of time, this equates to stealing time and leads to a troubled conscience. Pastors and Levite workers, they are being paid, so they have designated time. The shepherd actually taught us that pastors, there's no working hours for pastors. Whenever they have to carry out their duties. Anyway, we have our designated working hours, and also, some people devote more of their time for God's kingdom. But using God's time for private use is stealing. Even if you come to church and work, if you don't bear fruit, you are also wasting God's time. And so you have to feel troubled in your conscience. But if you have been in the habit of doing so, you don't feel any qualms of conscience. And let's say, while many Levite workers bear fruit, you don't bear any fruit, and you just idly spend time, and you don't make efforts to improve yourself. And even so, you don't feel any qualms of conscience. You have to fix such areas. This applies not only to God's work, but also to secular jobs and personal relationships. By being punctual, you are not to cause anyone loss in terms of time. So you can be complimented and recognized even in even out in the world. If you, dear brothers and sisters, I encourage you to cast aside all selfishness and greed and always seek the benefits of others with a good conscience and a sincere and faithful heart. I pray in our Lord's name that all of you will emerge as perfect children of God who are pure and blameless in the truth.
Hallelujah! Our Almighty Father God of love, please lay your hands on all the members who are receiving this prayer now. May you work in ways that transcend space and time for your children all over the world. I ask you to give them faith by which they can believe from the heart, to avoid their negative thoughts and doubts, and make all their tests and tribulations go away. Scorch them from head to toe, all of their organs, intestines, bones, nerves, tissues, and cells with the fire of the Holy Spirit, and work with the original light. I command in the name of Jesus Christ, the enemy devil, all diseases, germs, and weaknesses, go away. May the light come upon them. Please cleanse them of all terminal and incurable diseases by scorching them with the fire of the Holy Spirit. Drive away all endemic diseases, including malaria, all contagious and infectious diseases, and related symptoms such as cold, coughing, fever, and flu, go away. May you protect them from all diseases. Heal them of all kinds of cancers, including monastic cancers, AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high and low blood pressures, heart disease, pulmonary or gastric disease, diabetes, women's disease, dermatitis, thyroid problems, and all kinds of inflammations. I ask you to perfectly heal them of polio, stroke, arthritis, and herniated discs. Make all kinds of pains go away, including backache, headache, and nausea. All mental diseases like epilepsy, autism, depression, manic depression, panic disorder, neurosis, dementia, go away. All kinds of paralysis go away. May they stand up, walk, and leap. Please make them see better or hear better. May the blind begin to see, the deaf to hear, and the mute to speak. Father, perfectly heal them of the after effects of all kinds of accidents and make their broken bones knit back together. Make their skins fully recover from burns. All burning sensations and heat go away. Father, please keep them from having any scar. Cleanse them of addiction to all kinds of drugs and poisoning. Make their dead nerves and cells regenerated. Make the dead revive. Father, may you bless infertile couples with a child. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all evil spirits, the ruler of the kingdom of the air, and their servants, go away. All evil spirits, dirty spirits, deceitful and crafty spirits, and separating and deceiving spirits, all darkness, go away. Darkness be driven away, and all the bonds of wickedness be loosed. May the light come. Father God, please give us strength to cry out in prayer and empower us to cancel sins and become sanctified. Make everything go well with them as their soul prospers and help them evangelize their families as well. All through the week, may you protect us from all accidents and disasters and bless us to lead a prosperous life where nothing goes wrong. Please protect all your children, their families, workplaces, and businesses with the fiery walls of the Holy Spirit, heavenly hosts and angels, and your blazing eyes. Give our students wisdom and understanding and let them have more fervor and passion to study hard. Protect their hearts and minds from being taken away by the world. Bless our students to love you more fervently. Please bless your children to lead a life where they do everything to the glory of God, whether they eat or drink or whatever they do. Bless them to always confess with their lips, "I've met and experienced God, I've received His answers and blessings." Father God, thank you. May you be glorified alone. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.